Hello and peace be upon you. I'm Mama Mara, the co-founder of Hijama Nation Academy, where we teach online hijama cupping therapy courses. Welcome to the Hijama Nation podcast.
I'm so excited today. We've got one of our graduates joining us and I'm going to be speaking to her about her hijama journey. So let's get started. Sister Lisa is based in Hounslow in West London and her company is called Cupping by Lisa. MashaAllah, she joined our course a few years back and she's been a successful graduate for some time. So I'm going to hand you over and Sister Lisa, if you can just give us some of your background and how you got started, inshallah.
Yep, sure. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. So I started a few years ago with an initial course in hijama. I just did a 1 2-day course in hijama. I then decided to, a few years later, with the knowledge that I already had and just practicing amongst friends and family, to start with Hijama Nation, to take the further diploma with Hijama Nation, and to progress my career path and to further educate myself in hijama cupping.
Excellent, alhamdulillah. So first of all, tell me, what's your general background? Do you already have background in complementary therapies or anything?
No, so I didn't really have any background in it. I had lots of different jobs, mainly working in clinical trials companies as administrators, drug safety administrator. So I have a limited knowledge, but been around the clinical environment, but not really in natural or holistic alternative therapies.
Okay, so in that case, then what drew you to hijama? Why did you decide that this is something you were interested in with the 1 day course and then the diploma with us?
So, I mean, first and foremost, I found out that it was sunnah. If I'm honest, I didn't know what cupping was. When I first found out about it those years ago, it's probably going back maybe 9, 10 years ago now. I didn't know what it was. You know, I heard about it. Someone told me and then, you know, they make little scratches. They cut, you know, and I was like, what's this? What are you talking about? And then I actually looked into it, found out that it was sunnah, found out that it was highly recommended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many different hadith on the night journey. It was mentioned on the night journey, so that just got me interested and I thought, well, let me give it a try and see what this is all about. So at the time I found myself a therapist and I went and had it done because I was suffering from headaches, and I just loved it. I loved the feeling afterwards. I thought it was just such a wonderful treatment. And after that, I looked more and more into it and I just decided it was a combination of a few things. You know, I had 2 small children. I needed to work. I needed to do something on the side, but didn't want to go back to full-time work, you know, in between my kids. So I wanted to do something that I could do with them being around. And this to me was just a win-win situation. You know, it's a way to earn a little bit for myself and my family. It's sunnah, it's helping people. So that's what initially made me go and take the initial course. Although I thought, I'm not sure how I'm going to do with blood and things like that. I really wasn't sure. But after taking it, alhamdulillah, I just really loved it. And it just took off. It really just took off just with people in my community, friends, family. It started very, very slowly, just doing the sunnah days. And then it just progressed more and more. And at that point, that's when I decided that I wanted to take it further. And that's when I went into With Yourselves with Hijama Nation to progress and develop more and then build my treatment room. So it's been a progression over some time.
Excellent, alhamdulillah. And can you tell me why you decided to choose Hijama Nation?
So they were recommended. You were recommended to me. And there's been a few courses similar to yourself, but you are by far, even online, you know, it's like the top. So for me, as soon as I got in contact, and for me, it's all about the communication as well. So, you know, just having that feeling. So as soon as I got in contact with Hijama Nation, they got back to me straight away. I understood the modules and the course. It seemed manageable to me. So I just thought, let's go for it.
Excellent, alhamdulillah. So while you were studying with us, tell us your experience about the actual course content, how you found studying online. You had the practical training day, you came to the live session with me in Birmingham. Tell us about all of your experience.
So I've got really good positive experiences over it. I mean, this is the first time I've done anything like this. Honestly, I'm not a studier. I just left school, I left college, and I just worked. I worked. So I'm not used to studying. I was very nervous, very apprehensive, and I'm not normally like that about many things. But when it comes to studying, it's quite an overwhelming thing for me to think I'm going to be doing case studies. It was a big thing. So alhamdulillah, I just felt like I was guided through. I felt confident, and I felt it was manageable for me. And I was just guided through it, you know. And I feel like if I can do it, I genuinely feel like anyone can do it. Lots of people can do it. I mean, having the background knowledge on hijama was very useful to me, but just the fact that everything's very clear, you know, even with the I enjoyed the online modules, because at the end you take your test. So I had my sort of system in place where, you know, I would make my notes throughout. You know, I print out all of the papers, I make lots of notes, and then I do my I do the exams at the end. And alhamdulillah, I really enjoyed it. The practical day was amazing. You know, I met some lovely ladies, including yourself, and I really enjoyed it. Even the case studies as well, I felt like the case studies was the thing that I was most concerned about. I was just sort of thinking, I don't know how it's going to be. You know, it's a bit overwhelming thinking about submitting case studies. But actually, again, you know, there's so much guidance that you really just have to be focused and just follow the guidance. And it's all there, you know.
Excellent. Alhamdulillah. Can you tell me how, as a mother, you managed to schedule your study time around the children, work life, all of these things? Because we all go through it. You know, there are so many sisters on the course who are either working already, or they've got situations where they've got the kids and all of that. Tell me about your time management. How did you cope?
Okay, so, well, that's kind of one of my strengths, I would say, is organizing time management. So for me, if I put my mind to it, if I'm focused and I want to do it, I'll make time to do it. So, you know, doing it in the house was not an option for me, because I just felt like I'm going to just be looking at things that need to be done. There's always something that needs to get done. So it was about going outside of the house. I'd go to the library. I'd drop my kids off. My daughter was just in nursery at the time, so I still had to do the nursery pick. But as soon as I dropped her, I'd grab a coffee, I'd go to the library and just study in the library. And I felt like that's just the whole mindset, just knowing you're outside of your environment. It helped me to focus. And I really needed that, especially as someone who's just not used to studying at all. It was something that really helped me to just be outside of my environment and just get on and do it.
Excellent. Can you share with me the emotions or the feelings that you had once you did all of your studies, you know, the sense of accomplishment after your quizzes, then you handed in your case studies, did your exams and so on. When you finally got your certificate, how did you feel?
I was so happy. I was so, so happy, honestly. You know, especially getting a distinction, I was overwhelmed. I was absolutely overwhelmed. It was such an amazing feeling to know that you've achieved that, to know that your hard work has paid off, to know that, you know, because no one's on your back with this. It is all down to you. You know, I'm sure you have many students that enroll and don't, you know, continue with it. You know, it's just life. Life gets in the way. But when you really focused on it, you really have conviction in it, and you really want to succeed and achieve, then you will put your mind to it and you'll do it. And once you've done that, and then you have, you know, you reap the rewards of it by getting your certificate and getting your qualification, it's just the most amazing, wonderful feeling and achievement, really. So many people were happy for me, you know, friends, family, they were really, really over the moon.
MashaAllah, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
good.
Because I know that you said that, you know, you weren't really a studier, you had a lot of studies, you left school and college, it wasn't really your lifestyle or environment that you're used to immediately.
Not at all.
The fact that you studied an online course and quite a hands-on experience, what did it make you feel like once you graduated?
It made me feel like, you know, I can do more than maybe I think I can, you know. It's, but like you said, especially the, you know, the online thing too is something, but you know, for being someone who's not used to studying and then doing it online as well, it's you're right, you know, it's very the ownership is much on yourself. You know, you're not going somewhere where someone's going to motivate you and they're gonna, you know, you're not physically going somewhere. So for me, I just, it really gave me a boost just knowing that I was able to do that. I did do that, you know, it's all on myself. I, you know, I have myself to you know, I've achieved it myself. So it really has given me just more of a confidence boost, I guess, especially with technology and things too, definitely.
Excellent. So once you had graduated, tell me about your hijama journey from there on in, because I always teach our students that once they enroll, they actually have to start thinking like business.
Yes.
Now you had graduated, you were done with us, then you had to venture out on your own. Tell me about your business journey now. Explain to me all of the things you had to think about when you start up your business and what you've achieved so far.
Yeah, so when you start it up, you know, it's all the logistics of it all. Alhamdulillah, I had a client base. That's what was good for me personally, because I'd already been practicing to some extent before. So, you know, but that's probably, I would say, for your students, the number one to think about is a client base. Build that up to begin with. So, you know, make some cards, do, you know, put the word out to friends, family, people of the community. And you know what I've realized in this business? People return. People come back to you. I have such a loyal clients that they will come back and I don't need to advertise. Honestly, I don't need to advertise. I haven't needed to for quite a long time, because it is just word of mouth. You know, everyone around here, they all know. And once you provide a good service, an honorable service, this is really something so important, you know, with, you know, morally, honorably, you know, there's been so many stories and many things that I've heard, you know, about how it's practiced that, you know, as long as you're doing it with the good and right intentions and to help people and you're doing it correctly in every way, then you will succeed and you'll be successful in it. And I think that's something that everyone needs to take on board and take into consideration is, you know, taking all the points that you've learned and applying them all and continuing with it. Because there's so little, such little regulations on hijama, you know, many people are not continuing with the momentum of doing it correctly, doing it right. And that's what's really, really important. You know, have your own personal business as something that you strive to be the best, in it. You know, because it's a sunnah, we often, I think, lose that in wanting to, in doing it really, really properly, in doing it really as we should. You know, sometimes there's the attitude of, well, it's sunnah, let's just do this, let's do it. But doing it properly, it really, really does get the best outcome for the hijama, and that's where you're going to have people having the good effects from it and wanting to return and spreading the word to others, you know, that who need hijama. And then furthermore, you know, it was sort of just building the business then. So I got my treatment room built. At the back of my home. And, you know, I thought about everything, how I wanted it to look. I wanted it to be very, very much, of a relaxing environment, wholesome. You know, many people come for their sessions and they talk, you know, people talk to you. You know, that's another thing, you know, it's like, it's almost, therapy comes along with this at the same time as well, especially in my practice too. You know, it goes so much deeper and broader than just doing treatment. You know, this is a sunnah in itself. You know, you've got sisters that are coming to you, you know, a lot of them are going through things, you know, you're there to listen as well, you're there, people will open up to you, they will talk to you, and it's about having that as a wholesome part of your treatment as well.
Alhamdulillah, that's amazing. So what I'm going to do for the benefit of the viewers, especially our students, I'm going to take it step by step and break down the business aspect.
Okay.
So legally, or, you know, according to regulations, which steps did you have to follow to establish your business?
So you have to, you know, register self-employed, things like that.
Yeah.
Go through all the motions of that. You know, that's something that you will just do, you know, you'll be guided through that. Things like, you know, I do all my admin and stuff myself. I just prefer it that way. Some people might get someone in to, you know, someone to do that. Getting insurance, and just keeping on top of that really as you go along. But I had some help, you know, my husband and my mom, they helped me with these, with the sort of legal side of it, that sort of side of it. Mine was more focusing on getting my room, you know, equipped, basically. Okay. in what I needed to do to get that all up and running.
Yeah, so let's break it down with figures and finances now. So you've set your room up, and then you obviously had to purchase hijama equipment. Setting that all up. So can you just briefly break that down for me? Which thing think about?
I'll do my best, but the thing is, I've had a lot of things purchased along the way, because obviously you've been practicing for a while. So initially, then you'll just get your standard equipment. I mean, there's a lot of equipment involved. You know, there is quite a lot of equipment involved, and it's about keeping on top of your equipment and your supplies as well. That's another thing. Alhamdulillah, I've never run out of anything, but I know people that have done so when they've had appointments booked. And I think that's what's really important, is keeping on top of the equipment, because there is quite a lot of equipment. So for the basics, you know, all of the basics that you have, I'm not sure if I can give figures, if I'm honest.
That's fine. And just tell me what you had to, which supplies you needed to start yourself up. You don't have to break down the figures.
Okay, so obviously, you know, your cups, your blades, your pumps, tissues, oils, hand sanitizer. You need a bed. You don't necessarily need a bed. You can get a massage chair or a massage bed. I've got both. Then a tray to put your equipment on, some sort of movable tray to put it on, bins. Those are sort of the basics, very basics, I would say, that, you know, we all have when we first begin. And make sure that you have a decent supply of cups and blades.
Yeah.
You know, very, very important. Because these are things you can't just grab. Like, you know, if you run out of tissues, or you run out of, you know, you can always grab these things from somewhere, but making sure you have a regular supply, that's very important. And then, you know, going forward after that, then I was for my room, I was purchasing, I ordered absolutely everything I needed in terms of seating, and units and towels and just extra bits and pieces that I've built this up over time.
Alhamdulillah. And so tell me, you said most of your client base, which was already established, mashallah, was done from word of mouth. Have you ever had to do any advertising at all, or do you use any social media, or how do you get your clients in now?
Okay, so I have one platform of social media, which is Instagram. But I didn't do that. So initially, back then, I made cards, leaflets, and literally just spread the word myself and got people to spread the word. That's how it sort of built up. After that, I didn't do any advertising after that. It was just, and for me, that was a manageable amount, because I started slowly. My kids were still young. I had another child in between. So it started off slow and slow. And that was enough client base for me to keep going. When I wanted to step it up a little bit, but it was more for purposes of getting information out there, I found myself explaining the same things over and over. Not just the spiritual aspects of hijama, but the medical. You know, there's a lot of things people don't know. And I like to get everyone involved in this. And it's not just for Muslims, it's for everyone. You know, and so for me, my Instagram was a very neutral platform to just make, I made lots of videos, explanations of hijama, how, just all of the science behind it, blood qualities. What does this mean when you see bubbling in the blood? What does that mean when you see that the blood's a bit dark? And you can see in some people that have different blood qualities in different areas of their body. It's really interesting for people. You know, when you tell people this, they're like, wow, I didn't know that. It's really interesting. So I put all of this information on Instagram. I've also developed a cupping-based facial package as well, and a few packages of my own that I've put on Instagram to advertise. And I do get clients from them. I do. And I've had some wonderful, wonderful, valuable clients from Instagram over the last couple of years or so.
That's really awesome. So continuing with that theme, tell me about your services and your packages, and how do you go about deciding what you're going to offer?
Okay. So it's all about seeing the client from face to face. So the most amazing thing with hijama is experience. So I feel like because I've got this experience under my belt, it's so, so valuable. You can learn so much, but as you go along, you just know certain things. You just know through experience. So when people come and they sit with me and we go through those forms initially, that's when I decide what treatment this person needs going forward. You know, I will advise them holistically as well, outside of the hijama, what to do. You know, I will always explain, depending on what it's for. You know, if someone just comes with the odd aches and pains, it's a lot more simple. If someone needs to be treated internally, anything, blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, depression, anxiety, all of these internal issues, fertility, hormonal balance, you know, I always explain that hijama is one piece of the puzzle. You know, outside of the hijama, your holistic approach to life in terms of food, diet, exercise, all of that is really important as well. You know, I will treat the organ points. I will normally always treat the organs when it comes to anything internal. That will be my decision depending on what someone's coming for. That will be my decision on what package, either package or what treatment going forward. But it's always on a review basis. So, you know, when people come back the next month, you know, we'll always review going forward what that person needs, and it will change. You know, sometimes it will change. But the packages, the main package that I developed from, it's been about a year, just over a year ago now, so it's fairly new still, is my facial package. Should I go into
yes, please,
the details of it? Okay.
Sure.
So the facial package is, it's a package I put together where you have everything. You've got your internal detox, you've got your facial surface clean, and then there's also a cupping facial massage at the end. And the results are amazing, absolutely amazing. So it's really great for acne, scarring, pigmentation. So I start with the two sunna points. I do the two sunna points at the top of the back and one small cup underneath the chin. This is the internal detox, your body's internal detox. So I'll do that as wet cupping, hijama wet cupping, and then I'll get the client to lie down, and I make it really relaxing. You know, if the client is happy to, I'll put some spa sounds on. I will put the lights down low, and you know, I have beautiful lighting in my room, and I will do a face. It's a bit of a pamper. So it's a bit, this is a combination. This is a bit of a pamper one. So you'll have a cleanse, tone, face mask, head massage. I train separately on these things. And then after that, that's when I apply an aromatherapy beauty balm, and I do a facial cupping massage using glass cups. And it's deep tissue, but it's also gentle and non-invasive. So the combination of all of that as the package has wonderful results, instant wonderful results.
That's amazing. Tell me about your pricing. So you're based in West London. London
yeah.
is definitely much more expensive than other parts of the UK. So obviously we've got international students, and it's going to be hard for them to figure out the exchange rates. But generally speaking,
okay.
just break down roughly how you do your pricing. What makes you decide, okay, this is what I'm going to charge to cover my costs and my supplies, and then basically the profit on top. So what do you decide? Because you have to be competitive.
Yeah.
As well.
It's very difficult, I have to say. Not very difficult. Alhamdulillah, it's been okay for me. But I know that people have different ways. And for me, I've always stuck to the same way, which seems to work out for me. But I know a lot of people, I know that Hijama Nation actually doesn't recommend to do it on a cup basis. But personally, that's what's worked for me. The packages, I do have a set price. Like that facial package that I just explained is £50 for that whole, for all of that, which is really good. And it was an initial introductory price, but I'm trying to keep it at that. In terms of my the actual cupping, I do charge, I charge £5 a cup up to six cups. Then after that, I offer a discount. So up to six cups is £30. Then after that, I do every two cups, £5. So for eight cups, instead of it being £35, it will be £40. Same for 10 cups, instead of it being £50, it would be £40. So that's how I do my charging, and that works out fine for me. But I am on a discretionary basis, so I'm not really, you know, it will depend. If I put the extra cup there and I don't want, you know, because someone, I think that someone sort of needs it, I won't always charge them for it. It just depends. I do it on a discretionary basis, but charging like that seems to work okay for me in terms of covering my costs and, you know, being able to make a bit of money as well. Reasonably, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. Mm. At the end of the day, we all have to pay our bills as well.
Yeah.
Tell me about, you mentioned earlier that you've done some other training as well. So you got qualified further in complementary therapies?
So no, it was just in facials. Okay. So to be able to incorporate the facial part of my, you know, the facial cleanse tone part and facial massage in the package, I did some extra training, just very basic on general facials.
Excellent. All right, great. So you said you do your admin yourself. When it comes down to office management, now let's talk about technical stuff. Office management, keeping your notes, because I remember you being very organized with paperwork.
Yeah.
So tell me how you run your clinic on a day-to-day basis with regards to client care, client intake procedure, appointments, scheduling. Tell me about that.
Okay. So yeah, I prefer to manage myself because it's just a bit of a control freak like that. But it works for me. So basically I have a diary where I have all my appointments booked in my diary. I also, 2 days before everyone's appointment, I also have reminders to send them the before and after care information, my address details, etc. And now as well, COVID questionnaires, you know, during this time. So that's what I do initially. Then on arrival, obviously we've got the medical and treatment discussion forms that we fill out, and I have a filing system, you know, all in alphabetical, where I file those away, file the every client forms away. And I also have a log of everyone's appointments, what points they've had done, because it's very difficult to remember, very, very difficult. You already, when people come, you find yourself wanting to remember what they've been doing in their life. You know, you have a rapport with your clients, so they'll come and you'll be like, so did you get that job? How was that? You know, it's like that. And it's sometimes it's hard to remember that, let alone what someone's blood quality was like, or what, you know, what points they had done. So it's really, really important. I note all of that down for the follow-up next sessions as well, to like which next points we're going to do. I pre-book people as well. I pre-book people, which is something I never used to do. I used to, when their next session was due, send people a reminder, but I found that was too much admin. So I pre-book people a month in advance. The only thing, you know, that's always going to be difficult with something like this when you're running your own business is people are going to change, people are going to cancel last minute, people are going to do all of that, be late. So I'm very strict on that, very, very strict on all of that. And I think you have to be in this type of business.
Yeah, for sure. And regarding scheduling, because obviously there's the thing with the sunnah days and everything, how do you manage your calendar?
So the sunnah days, normally for me, I have clients that already pre-book them. I have certain clients that just want sunnah days, and I have other clients that will just do it, you know, just have it at other times. You know, obviously during this time, this last year's been very different. It's just been all over the place. But before that, you know, it was mainly the sunnah days are booked up, you know, in advance. And I do let people know if it's a sunnah day appointment, you know, you've got to let me know if you can't make it so that I can book someone else. That's the only, that's the trouble, you know. That's where I think other therapists maybe struggle with things like this.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to really make your mark from the beginning to let people know this is how it is. I need notice for cancellation. You know, I don't take deposits and things like that, but that is something certainly people can consider doing, and I probably would recommend for certain people to do that. I just found that, again, it was just a bit more admin to have to take some deposits and then and keep on top of all of that. So, but that is definitely something, you know, in terms of scheduling and making, you've got to be really, really organized. It just doesn't work otherwise. I don't think you can be successful in it and succeed in it if you're not really on top of your own admin and organizing things, keeping on top of appointments, you know, not forgetting yourself, you know, making sure. And it's all just about logging everything. That's how I manage it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You're right. Tell me about any changes that you've noticed during lockdown. What have you experienced with client patterns, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very difficult time across the board. And I was closed in the first lockdown, like many. But for this time, I stayed open for essential appointments only, no facials. And it's just been so different in terms of, I would probably more say like emotionally, it's been emotionally just so really hard because there's so many stories, you know, you're invested. I'm invested with these people, you know, I'm invested with these women, you know, I feel them. And it's like, you know, every woman is my sister. It doesn't matter, a Muslim, non-Muslim, you know, whoever, everyone that comes through the door, they're a sister to me. And I have a duty of care towards them. And I will put my all into that. And, you know, sometimes maybe I get too emotionally involved. It's sad. There's been a lot of sad stories I've heard over this year, lots of sad stories. Morale is low. People are just low in general. I've seen an increase in sciatic pain because everyone's working from home. You know, the sciatic has just been off the scale that I've seen in this past year with everyone just with terrible postures and sitting at home. Same with depression. Anxiety and a lot of emotional issues during this time.
Yeah, I was going to talk about this on an emotional level as well. Can you tell me just one case study
okay.
has affected you to the point that it's actually impacted your life, that it's been such a, you know, a profound case study? Can you share just one with us?
Yeah, so I had a client. She I know there's one client, and I know her whole family. I know her whole family. Absolutely lovely, lovely, amazing people. Just beautiful people. I can't tell you, honestly. I can't tell you what amazing people they are. So kind, so respectful, so decent. We just vibe off each other every time they can. One of the daughters, so it's a whole family that I treat, that I know, daughters, cousins, and there's the mum, and she's the type of person that every time you see her, you just love her. Anytime, you know, whoever meets her, you just don't forget her. She's that type of character. Anyone who meets her, you don't forget her. And she's coming to me during this time. On and off, she was suffering from some personal issues and really severe headaches. I treated, you know, when it comes to headaches, I always do the head last. I normally do, because I've got personal experience in migraines, I normally do the neck, the temple points, and I find that really helps, along with the sunna points, upper shoulders, all depending on where the headaches are stemming from. But that's what I did for her. She was so happy, you know, she had this headache that lasted for such a long time. It was just on and off. It was on and off because of personal issues that she was going through. And she was just so happy with it. You know, she came out away from the session. Her headache had gone. You know, she was coming and maintaining her appointments. And a few weeks after I'd seen her, I heard that she had become really ill. And unfortunately, she contracted COVID and she passed away. And it's just affected me so much. It's affected me so much because I just can't, even saying it, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, I can't believe that she's not here. I can't believe that she's not here. So that's definitely profoundly affected me during this time. Definitely.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah grant her Jannah, forgive her
sin. Ameen. Ameen.
I know you do get very attached to them. To the clients, and it can be a real roller coaster. So
that brings
me on to my next question. How do you manage self-care and self-protection?
Yeah, that is a big one. That's a big one. And that's something that I think I never thought about until recently, if I'm honest. I never even thought that I took it on like that. You just don't. I think that you just carry on, and it's only sometimes where you really realize, wow, like I'm really invested in this, and I've really, you know. So I think what it is you have to disconnect in a way, in a sense. You know, that's very easy to say. You can be involved, but then you also have to leave it there. You have to leave it there. But also, do you know what I would say? I would say you need someone to talk to, like you personally. As a practitioner, you need someone to talk to. And alhamdulillah, I definitely have that. I definitely have that. I've got some amazing, amazing friends that I can talk to. And I tell them these things, just like the story that I told you. I can cry down the phone if I need to. I can get it out. And I think that's what you need. You need someone. Even my husband, I talk to my husband. You know, like, you need someone, you know, to vent that out to. Someone who's just not involved that can just listen, really. And obviously, you know, from the spiritual sense, you know, as Muslims, just taking care when it comes to, you know, making dua, keeping on top of your, you know, your protection surahs and duas and everything like that. I think that's very, very important to do that.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about metaphysical issues. Have you ever come across any spiritual cases like clients who are afflicted by jinn, black magic, or evil eye that you are
so with? not really that I, if I'm honest, if someone calls me for a possession, for an appointment for possession, which hardly ever happens, to be honest, I have a friend who's also trained that does it specifically for that, and she doesn't have that many clients, so to be honest, I normally pass them over to her for her own self, for her own business, and because I think that that's better all round for the client, for her. If anything happens, if those clients react, she deals with it, handles it very well. I personally don't think that's where my expertise lie. I'm definitely on the spiritual side, but I'm more on the medical side, and people kind of know that when it comes to my practice. So when it comes anything, there's never been, if anything happens. That I feel like if the person, I have had people fainting, I have had people, but Allahu Alam, I never know, you don't know if it is that or if it's not. There's never been anything clear for me to say, like, I think this is that. That's always an option, that's always something that could be there. Even when people come and they experience something that's completely unexplained, we don't know, you know, but it's all just about handling it very calmly. And I will stop if anyone feels like that, or they faint or anything like that happens, I will look after them and I will stop the treatment for their own safety.
Yeah, that's the best way to be. That's amazing. So before we wrap up, I'm very excited. If you could quickly show me your clinic, because I'm dying to see it and show the kids, and then we'll finish up with a few more questions afterwards, inshallah. Mashallah. So do you want to talk us through any practical tips that you can give our students and graduates about setting up the room and that kind of thing?
So I just think it's all based personally on what you prefer, you know, how you like to practice and do things. You know, personally for me, my thing was I wanted it to feel relaxing. I didn't want it to have so much of a clinical
vibe, although, you know, it needs to be clean and clear, you know, you need to have all your equipment, you need to have everything that you need to have. But I wanted it to be more of a sort of, I wanted it to have that spa feeling. I wanted it to have that sort of spa feeling where people come in and they feel relaxed. And I do, I get that comment a lot. You know, people come in, they feel relaxed.
So finally, now, because we're going to wrap up, inshallah, you know, it's been an amazing talk. You've shared so much valuable information.
Oh, thank you.
Summarizing, what advice would you give to our students who are stuck in the course right now with their studies?
Who are stuck?
I would say,
have conviction in what you do. So when you have conviction in what you do and you feel you really believe in it, you really believe in what you're doing and you really have a goal that you want to achieve, then I think use that as your motivation to keep you going. You know, just know that you can achieve, you can do it, you can achieve it, you can do it. The support is there if you need, you know, from students, from graduates, the support is there. But I would just say, you know, stay focused, have conviction in what you're doing. Know that this is a good thing that you're doing. It's just a good thing. You know, it's reviving a sunnah. You know, you can set up such a wonderful business with it. This is, you know, I've gained so much from this, you know, that I would just say to anyone who's stuck, anyone who's struggling, just really believe in this, you know, and believe in what you can achieve, and you'll succeed in it.
Wonderful. Tell me what your tips would be for graduates who are about to venture out on their own now and start up their business. Because, mashallah, you've become a very strong, powerful Muslim entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're a role model for so many sisters out there. And, you know, many of them have the same journey as you, possibly didn't finish up school or whatever, you know, working from home, kids, all of that kind of thing. You know, so many people will identify with you. But look what you've literally got in your back garden. This is your little haven. You've got it. You've set it up. You had a clear vision of what you wanted to achieve. So what is your advice to other Muslimas, other women and men as well? We have males on our course as well. But for everyone who wants to venture out, what would your business advice be to them?
So just mirroring what I've been saying, really, my advice would be just always have it in your mind to do it, you know, do it from the heart, like really put your heart and your soul into it. You know, people know when you care, they know, you know, when they come to you and you really want to help them, you know, through a sunnah, they feel that, they know, you know, and people also know when you just want to pack up and you just want to go and you want to take their money and leave, you know, so really you have to put your all into it, you know, and just always, always practice how you should be, you know, always remember the practices that you've learned. Never get complacent in what you do. That's really such an important thing. Don't get complacent in what you do. You know, remember the practices that you've learned. Always do it properly. Always do it correctly. If you need to take further training or you need more advice, you know, do that. Never do what you don't know. You know, that is what's really important in this particular industry. With the lack of regulations that we have, that's just such an important thing. And, you know, when people are doing it like that properly, consistently, it spreads. You know, we're spreading the sunnah. The amount of people I've had come to me that have had awful experiences, I hate to say, puts them off, you know, puts them off even getting treatment done. So it's so important. We're all ambassadors for this. Every single therapist, every single practitioner, whether you're setting up in your home, whether you're setting up a clinic, we're all ambassadors for this, and we need everyone to be doing it properly, to be doing it correctly, to be united in how we practice.
Alhamdulillah, you're very right. Do you ever do any outreach work? Do you ever go to other people's homes or do mobile clinic, or everyone comes to you?
No, everyone comes to me. I used to do mobile in the very, very beginning, but since I've had my room set up, everyone comes to me, unless it's a special case. You know, I've had an elderly lady, you know, I know the family, she couldn't get to me, and I went to her. So, but very much on a very limited basis. Normally people always come to me.
So how has hijama cupping therapy impacted your life?
Okay, so I would say it's mainly been from the people that I've met through this, the clients that I've met, the amazing, the stories, the success stories, the incredible, inspirational people that I've met, women that I've met. It's changed my view on so much. It's changed my view on so much. You know, I get to know, I get to listen, and I get to know about the struggles of people, their health struggles, their family struggles, so many things. You get involved in a lot. You know, the sisterhood, the community feel, everyone sort of looking out for each other, helping each other. This is something that I really, really feel that hijama's impacted so much on. It's not just about the treatment. You know, people, I've got some amazing success stories that will always resonate with me, you know, but I've also got people in my mind, I've got women in my mind that will never ever, will never leave, will never go. You know, I'll always remember them, whether or not they continue coming to me, whether I've treated them and they've moved on now and they don't need the treatment anymore, or whether they're the regulars. You know, there's so, so many that have impacted on me personally through the treatment that I've given them.
And do you feel spiritually fulfilled by practicing hijama cupping therapy?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, you know, I'm a man, it goes up and down. That's just something mentioned in the deen, and that's something that happens, you know. And as a fellow reaver, I have my own personal struggles. You know, definitely I do. But knowing that how whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm personally going through, I know that I am performing a sunnah. My job is performing a sunnah. It's wonderful. It's amazing. You know, and there's so many times if I ever feel like, you know, it happens after doing something for so long, and you just, sometimes you have bad days and sometimes you go through bad times. But there will always be something that will remind me of the beauty of this, of how much I'm helping people. And for me, that's what keeps me going. Seeing the results, you know, having people saying to you, you know, this changed my life, you know, in many ways. It's just the most rewarding thing. It's the most rewarding thing.
That's awesome. I totally resonate with that, and I understand it, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. Can you tell me what your future plans are? Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Okay, so I think I'd like to just develop and grow more. You know, I'd really like to. I think my facials are something very special, and they're bespoke completely and utterly, and I'm very proud of them because I made it up myself. You know, I thought, and this is something I didn't think I'd be able to achieve all of this. I really didn't. You know, alhamdulillah, like, you know, it's made me look at myself differently and what I'm able to do and what I'm actually able to achieve. I would like to develop and grow my facials, you know, cupping face. I'd like to make cupping more widespread. I invite so many people for cupping. You know, that's why I made my Instagram the way that I have, very neutral. I love to invite people for cupping, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, people that never thought that they would have it done, people that are the skeptics, the people that are just trying it. Those are the people that normally discover it and love it. And that's what I want to grow and increase more. You know, I'd love to take my facials up to London, maybe some, you know, into town to some sort of clinics, alternative therapists, and try to open their mind to cupping as a treatment, as well as an all-round treatment. That's what I'd like to do.
That's wonderful. I'm so excited for you, inshallah. In summary, what's your message for the public right now, people who are going to be viewing this? Have you got any final thoughts you'd like to share?
I'd like for people to know that there is so much benefit in cupping, wet cupping hijama therapy. There's so much benefit in it. There's so many success miracle stories that I've seen. It helps with so many ailments, conditions, especially in the time that we're in right now. Things are changing rapidly. People are turning more and more to alternative therapies. You know, I would say to anyone watching this right now that if you're studying hijama, if you want to get into hijama, if you want to do hijama, have conviction in it, go for it. wholeheartedly, put your heart into it, practice it properly, correctly, and you will succeed in it.
Excellent. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure. It's been an absolute honor and a pleasure to talk to you. And I'm just so pleased for you. I'm really excited for your journey. And mashallah, I remember you being one of the most studious students, very hardworking.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
My school teachers would not believe you saying that.
Alhamdulillah. No, mashallah, you did really, really well. You know, you've always, there are certain students that always stick out in my mind as well. And, you know, you did really, really well. And, you know, mashallah, your little clinic, you know, I can see your pride and joy and your passion in your work. And, you know, it's such a blessing for me to be part of that as well. So thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate you joining us today. And I'm sure you've benefited, you know, students, graduates, and certain members of the public who may be watching this as well, inshallah. So inshallah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, that's the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed the topics discussed. Be sure to like today's episode and subscribe to Hijama Nation podcast so you won't miss our weekly episodes on Spotify or wherever else you listen to us. If you're interested in enrolling onto our online Hijama Cupping Therapy course, you can visit our website at www.hijamanation.com and enroll yourself onto the course. That's a wrap for today, and we will see you next week. Take care.